Hi, everybody. It's Diana. I'm sitting here with former police officer Sean Shapiro and managing partner of Diamond & Diamond Lawyers, Ms. Sandra Ziskind. And today we're talking about motorcycle and motorcycle safety.
Aside from the fact that they are taking unnecessary risk in Canada, being that it's a seasonal activity, these are perishable skills. I was a motor squad officer. I can tell you that we practice constantly. And if you're not keeping up with these skills, you're losing them. So it's not this thing like riding a bicycle and you can just do it. Yeah, you can do it and not fall and not crash. Doesn't mean you're good at it.
What do you mean? You guys were taught how to fall properly?
So we actually do a ton of training and every officer in the motor squad has to qualify every year to maintain their motorcycle privileges. Yeah. So if they fail and they can't pass the qualifier, they don't ride.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a lot of slow speed maneuverability. It's high speed collision avoidance. It's professional riding at its best.
What do you guys think is the best advice to give somebody who's like, you know, like I'm just for in terms of summer driving, aside from like driving the speed limit, like I guess motorcycle, I know it's probably the most uncomfortable thing to wear a leather jacket in the dead of summer in Ontario.
You know what's worse? Losing your skin when you
degloving injury, right?
Road rash, degloving. These are disgusting. Yes. The deal is that it's the fine wire brush they use to scrape out all the gravel.
Yeah. Like,
we're talking about serious life-altering changes or collisions when you're dealing with a motorcycle. And I got very lucky in my collision when I was hit by a car. Yeah. I went for a flight. It did change things. But, you know, I got off fairly easy compared to what it could have been. Because one wrong move, it could have been a broken neck in a wheelchair. Like, it could have been so much worse.
Yeah. And what people don't realize is the weight of a lot of these motorcycles are like, especially like the Harleys and the big fat boys, all of those sort of big motorcycles are very heavy.
Yeah.
And what happens a lot of times, and I'm not talking now about the motorcycles being stupid and weaving, I'm talking about the cars being stupid and getting too close to the motorcycles, which we see more often than not. And then the motorcyclist has to drop the bike. Right. It's drop the bike or crash, right?
Yeah.
So, then you're dropping this 350-pound bike on your leg, sometimes 900, yes, and your leg's crushed. That's it. Your leg is crushed. There's nothing you can do. It doesn't matter what protective
it's
gear you're wearing.
Either enter the other person's vehicle first.
So, like, it's either, like, exactly. You go flying head first and maybe die or break your neck, or you drop the bike, which a lot of motorcyclists do, and crash your leg.
There's really no good motorcycle crash.
Yeah.
You want to avoid it. Right. So if you're thinking of becoming a motorcycle rider, get professional training.
Yeah.
Don't ride beyond your abilities. That includes speed and situation. Yeah. And be paying attention. Like, motorcycling is a job. You know, it's something that you have to do safely.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you are going to pay the worst of it.
100% because the car is protected. The car is protected by this armor. Mm-hmm. You have no protection around you. So you can wear the helmet, you can wear the gear, you can wear everything. But at the end of the day, it's you versus pavement. That's all it is. And it's just what level of injury you're going to have. And literally, so I've seen, I would say in my opinion, what I've seen, and this is just colloquial, I've seen more car causing the accidents and motorcycles.
Yes.
Like, I do see these idiot motorcyclists, especially on the ninjas or like those quick bikes going in and out. They get in and out. I can't watch it. It just gives me agita. But in general, when I see the accidents, most of the times with motorcycles, it's the car not giving them enough space, the car cutting them off. We're not seeing them.
Well, you know, I talk about being a seasonal thing and having diminishing skills. The drivers are not expecting cars. If we talk about look twice, save a life, trying to remind motorists, car drivers, to look for motorcycles, they're just not paying attention.
I see those signs on the highway sometimes.
Check
motorcycles.
And somehow they think that they don't need to leave as much space on motorcycles because they're smaller, which is simply not true. You have to give them the same sort of space you would give a car, sort of the same sort of... I just wish cars would respect motorcyclists like they were cars, and I wish cyclists would respect themselves as if they were cars, because cars don't weave in and out.
No.
And we don't go up somebody's bum. We're not supposed to, at least when we're driving a car.
Right.
Why would you do that to a motorcycle?
Do you think most of the traumatic injuries that we see are strictly from motorcycles, or is it?
No, I've seen it from everything. The problem with the motorcycles is it's more likely to be catastrophic in nature or very serious in nature. So for example, I had a young kid, I remember this case like today, a young kid, motorcycle. It was in firefighting academy going to be a firefighter. He had like this future ahead of him where he's doing a very physical job. He was driving a motorcycle, got into an accident, hurt his shoulder. And it started off, it looked like something that was very minor, maybe soft tissue. We start looking into it. It's a brachial plexus injury. Brachial plexus, it's basically you can just chop off your arm at that point in time. It's basically, you basically lose almost all momentum in your arm. So now here's a kid who had this firefighting career he was going to. He was on this sort of pathway. Can't be a firefighter anymore because he only has 10% usage of his arm. And
so what, it just has like, it's just a...
It's dangly. He's got 10% usage. So it's, you can imagine how weak it is. So it's really like the minimum, but he definitely can't be a firefighter. He definitely can't be a police officer. Anything that he was going down that route or his more physical job, he cannot do it. And it like altered his whole life. And it was just a shoulder, but because it's pavement versus body... Mm-hmm. Every injury is 10 times worse. It's amplified.
So the injuries are just worse on motorcycles, but the rate of accidents between vehicle and motorcycles and vehicles and cyclists and pedestrians and vehicles, it all goes up.
Correct.
Oh, boy.
Across the board. The thing with motorcycling is you can reduce certain injuries by dressing for it, but the best thing is to ride safely. And that means not going super fast, not lane splitting, which is also illegal. It's legal in California, not here.
Yeah.
But people do some really risky things to try and avoid their engine overheating, or so goes the claim. You can be a safe motorcycle rider.
Right.
It's a matter of having the right mindset. Yeah.
It's all nonsense. You know, I was on the DVP when I saw this literally yesterday, and they were weaving in and out of the lanes. There's no reason to do that.
That's stunt driving.
It really is stunt driving. It really is. And it's also scary as the driver because
when they zoom by,
you don't see them. Yeah. That's the other problem. I, as a driver, like I'm paying attention and everything, but when they're doing this sort of weave thing, you're only anticipating the car in front of you. You're not anticipating on the DVP going straight that somebody's going, a motorcycle is going to cut in front of you like that.
And they don't realize the speed differential that they're creating by speeding past slow or non-moving traffic. It is going to end badly for them. If someone just opens a door, decides to move over an inch or two and you're threading the needle, you're doing something so dangerous and it's stupid.
I think everybody just thinks they're super brave when they're doing that, or that they're a very well-seasoned motorcyclist that they can do it. But at the end of the day, it's stunt driving. Like
it is stunt driving.
If you see it happening, you're going to chase that. Well,
it's going to be careless driving, stunt driving, or in some cases even dangerous driving, which becomes criminal. And people think it's just, you know, I can do it because I can fit in that space, or it's no big deal, or it's legal in California, so it must be okay here. A motorcycle is not a bypass to traffic. It is just another way to sit in traffic and be warm.
But listen, things that are legal in the U.S. are not legal here, and for good reason. For example,
helmets. What's helmets? Like that?
Florida is a no helmet state. So you don't have to wear a helmet in Florida. It's not mandatory to wear a helmet in Florida. It is mandatory in Ontario, in Canada in general, but in Ontario. In Florida, they have a thing where it's like, you want your brains to be lying on the side of the highway. You make the choice. It's your choice.
That's a little too much freedom of choice.
In Ontario, we're a little bit more, that's how we feel. So you must wear a helmet for good reason.
I would think that falls under the same category as a seatbelt. Like, it's mandatory to wear a seatbelt.
You wouldn't believe how many people argue about seatbelts, saying it's my body, my choice. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I get that argument in some situations. I don't get it for seatbelts.
Yeah.
And Ontario, oddly enough, has health care. So who's paying for it if you get hurt?
Correct.
Why are you punishing the first responders who are going to be picking you up in pieces at a collision scene? It's just not cool. Like, if I wasn't wearing a helmet in my crash, I would not be here today.
Right.
And you know, protect the computer. We always say protect the computer.
Right. And sometimes even the helmet is not enough in these type of cases, but it could be the difference between your brain splattered on the highway and just a really horrible concussion. But yes, the worst head injuries I've seen have been usually motorcycle involved. Those are the ones I've seen personally.
Yeah.
Motorcycles usually end up, St. Mike's has a brain injury unit. Yeah. That's usually what I'm called. It's usually a motorcycle and it's usually brain injuries.
Yeah. With the helmet. And they're wearing the helmet.
Most of the times with the helmet.
But even still, your neck as well, right? Like
you can break your neck and you can die. There's so many things there's so many variables that can happen. And there's so many parts of your body that really can be hurt.
And I'm not suggesting motorcycles are bad. No, I love motorcycles.
Yeah, of course.
But you have to have the right attitude towards it. And we tend to see, and it's not always young riders, but new riders who aren't trained, who are pushing the limits or having fun, but haven't got the same experience. It's easy to make mistakes, and those mistakes can have life-altering effects.
Right. I don't get a lot of motorcycle accidents with the older drivers on the Harleys that are like, this is their weekend driving fun.
Yeah.
They know how to drive.
The back
my father did it for years. My father used to drive a Fat Boy, a Harley, and he used to do it for years with my mother on the back.
I can't.
But they used to have their little helmets and they used to go, but he knew how to drive and he drove properly. And it was, thank God, nothing happened.
They're cruising. They're not speeding. Correct. Right? Like they're, correct. It's a cruising.
But you can still make a mistake. Yeah. And what we do see is a lot of older riders who are having their, you know, they now have the financial freedom to buy the Harley or the toy. And we've seen fatalities in Toronto where someone who was, you know, capable of riding, but not necessarily a skilled rider, end in tragedy. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say constant training, take the courses. You can only make yourself better and safer by being a better rider.
And there's a time where you have to listen. Even my father went through this. It was a hard realization. It was a coming to life moment where you're like, I think I'm just too old to be doing this. And it's not trying to be ageist or anything, but at some point your reactions are not the same. Yeah. Your strength also to pick up the bike, like to hold the bike, to pick up the bike. Because it's
your bones
physical.
Are more brittle. There's
so because
many things.
When you're driving a motorcycle, it's not like driving a car. You're holding it. Mm-hmm. You're up, right? Yeah. Like it's a physical thing. Well,
centrifugal force takes a play at a certain speed. And then at low speeds, you're doing a lot more manual work. I remember riding through the mountains, the Sarah Hall Skyway, and I was praying for straight lines because I was so sore. Because it's a physically involving experience. It's not just, you know, tootling around with power assist. You're actually doing it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think people realize that. Even like, not to shift gears or something, but even truck drivers. Driving a truck is a very physical job. It's not like driving a car. So when we have truck drivers that get into accidents, and unfortunately they do a lot, and again with truck drivers, it usually tends to be the cars on the road, not the truck drivers, because they tend to be more skilled. Not always, but they tend to be more skilled. Yeah. But that's a physical job. Driving, and that's what people don't realize. Driving in a regular automatic car with our suspensions, with everything else, for us as the average
just a
driver,
swirl of the finger, right?
Yeah, it's like just like you basically have to like kind of nudge it in a direction to go, and it goes.
Yeah.
Trucks, motorcycles, these take a lot more work and hands-on things. So you have to really be trained to know what you're doing.
So there's fatigue that you got to consider too, right?
Everything.
Yeah. Motorcyclists, we're not picking on you. I just want to be clear about that. It's just that when we think about trauma season, that's where the focus is, because that's when people are out on the road and that's when people can take their motorcycles out. And it's not us picking on you. It's just us trying to advise you on how to be a little bit safer out on the road.
And car drivers sharing the road with the motorcyclists.
Yeah, just share the road.
And cyclists. And pedestrians.
And everybody. And,
you know, everybody. Yeah. You are literally a vehicle, motorcycle, whatever type of vehicle you're in, you are literally, in my opinion, driving a weapon. So.
Correct.